This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Tony Ching, Kulai MP and former Deputy Minister of Education, on problems with the accreditation system for higher education institutes. Now, we're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio this morning, asking you how confident are you in the quality of private higher education institutions in Malaysia? And of course, if you vote on the poll, do tell us why. A quick glance at it shows that we've had 50 or so votes so far. 43% of whom have said they are confident in some institutions only. Do let us know what you think. But in the meantime, we are zeroing in on the issue of corruption, because according to Transparency International's 2020 Corruption Barometer, 71% of Malaysians believed that the government was facing major corruption issues. Now, the belief can only have been affirmed by recent cases indicating abuse of power and misconduct with government within government bodies.
This year alone, there have been multiple separate allegations about cartels in the civil service. Last month, the now former IGP Tan Sri Hamid Bado called out law enforcement officers who were apparently aiding and abetting fugitive businessman Nicky Liu. Early in April, the MACC arrested seven individuals involved in a project tender cartel. And in January, reports emerged of a meat smuggling cartel involving the repackaging of imported meat with the halal logo. Now, all credit should go to the MACC and police for crippling these activities. But the bigger question, I guess, when we look at all this is how far does this go and what does this say about the government's commitment to tackling anti-corruption?
For some thoughts on the current state of affairs, we're speaking this morning with Dr. Mohamed Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia. Good morning, Dr. Mohan. Thanks for joining us today. Now, there have been a series of revelations this year over cartels within government bodies, including within the police. How do these stories affect perceptions of corruption within government? And do you expect to see any subsequent impact on the Corruption Perceptions Index?
Yes, thank you. Well, with the recent stories of this cartel and selling of contracts and so on, especially in government procurement, this is definitely a worrying trend. And as you mentioned just now, that a year ago when Transparency International did the global corruption barometer, 71% of Malaysians interviewed were concerned about corruption in the government. And also in these same findings, two institutions were deemed to be highly corrupt, were the members of parliament and the police. So hearing all these new stories that we are hearing in the last 1 month, this does not go well for the Corruption Perception Index. And I believe if the government does not take drastic action, the CPI or the Corruption Perception Index for 2021, I think we will see further deterioration. So this is definitely a very big concern for us.
Yeah, so you mentioned MPs and police. Could you elaborate what is the source, especially for MPs?
Well, you see, the Global Corruption Barometer, it is done yearly across the world, and Malaysia is definitely featured in that. So what they do is in this particular survey, when they interview Malaysians right from the north to the south and East Malaysia and so on, they list out all the major institutions to the public, and they do a kind of rating. And we have seen this trend over, it's not the first time we are seeing this trend. Even in 2013, 2014, we have seen a similar trend where politicians and the police normally tend to score very high when it comes to public perception on the level of corruption. So this is basically how the public perceive that the most corrupt institution seems to be either the police or the politicians. They always come as the top two.
Does this reflect reality in your opinion or in your experience?
Well, all I can say is looking at the statistics, numbers don't lie. I mean, if we have seen the similar trend in 2013, 2014, 2015, and also I think there was another survey done on 2017. They were always the same. Either the police will be number one or number two. So it cannot be false. Of course, if we talk to the general public in the today, we tend to hear the same thing. If you talk to generally the general public, mainly many people will say that, you know, they don't trust politicians. And then when it comes to this institution like police, they have lots of stories, negative stories to talk about it. So personally, I'm not surprised at all by these findings.
All right, Dr. Man. So this index is, again, a perception index. It takes into consideration how people are feeling, the sentiment gauge on the ground. But on a related note, we are seeing the majority of complaints received by the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission, the AIC, it does pertain to the police. And this number has been rising over the past few years. Do you agree with the assertion that this is due to the growing intolerance of the public for corruption? Is the public becoming more, not just more aware, but wants to act on this awareness?
Yes. You see, the way I see it is the turning point was GE14. When politically change happened after 60 years of independence, there was suddenly a greater awareness among the public that change is possible. And then suddenly we find also the youth group, meaning those in the age of 25 and for below 40s, they have now shown a lot of interest in politics. And they believe that change is possible. And the other factor that is actually influencing this is social media. Today, with the power of the social media, the information is immediately spread and so on. That is why when there was a story of police brutality or the victim in the police custody, Ganapati, who died, suddenly we find that everybody has jumped into the wagon and start raising up issues and so on. So social media has played a big part. And today, because of the COVID-19 situation, there's a lot of interaction between the public and the enforcement agencies like the police and so on. So there is greater awareness that they must do something about it. So that's why you see the rising number of complaints happening and going to the EAIC.
So awareness is one thing, Dr. Mohan, but what's your assessment on how the government should be responding to these allegations of misconduct and abuse of power, particularly in the police force? Has there been any clear signal that the authorities will seriously investigate these claims?
Unfortunately not. As it is now, there's been total silence when it comes to the recent death of the late Ganapati, who passed away. That is one issue. And the other thing is regarding the police, the issue of IPCMC. And the IPCMC was mooted some 15 years ago after a Royal Commission of Inquiry. And the BN government at that time didn't want to take it up. And then the PH government tried to actually push it through. In fact, it went for first reading in Devan Raya. And then they had to make several amendments and so on. But then when the government of PH collapsed, PN came into the picture and they came with another version called IPCC, which is a completely watered-down version. And that is not going to work, in my opinion. And therefore, because of this series of complaints and endless complaints, it is time for the government to go back to the IPCMC. The IPCMC, we would recommend that it is solely meant for the police. The EAIC can remain. They should be looking after the other enforcement agencies. But the because of the sheer number of high number of complaints on the police, as you have pointed out in the statistics from the AIC, it justifies to have the IPCMC solely for the police. So that will have an independent investigation done. And so that the whole idea, the police force have to understand that the whole idea here is to help the police. This is not to make it difficult for them. And the whole idea is to improve the image of the police and so on. I think the government should immediately get into this rather than to drag the issue continuously, because there will not be any solution if you don't take drastic action.
So you've expressed support for the drafting of a Misconduct in Public Office Act. What should this law incorporate in order to be effective in tackling corruption and abuse of the police force and all the various agencies under the government?
Yes, you see, we fully support this new act, which is proposed by the MACC. The reason being that is we should relate back to the Auditor General's report yearly. I don't go through all the report, but I look at some of the highlights year after year. And you will see that the comments and the adverse comments coming from the Auditor General is almost like repeated year after year. The same issues, excess spending, leakages, money spent on items but not used, assets are disposed, and these are all taxpayers' money. You know, so the issue of fiduciary duties doesn't seem to resonate with the public civil servants. And I think this is this new act that they are going to put in through will actually hold civil servants and the department heads accountable for what they spend and what they are going to use the taxpayers' money for. So that is the reason we are fully supporting this. Now, as to your question about how to stop corruption, well, this has an indirect impact on corruption because there are enough laws against corruption under the MACC Act 2009. So that can take care of that. But this act that the MACC is proposing is good to hold civil servants accountable. And that is missing today.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Dr. Mohan. That was Dr. Mohamed Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia, giving us some thoughts on the current state of affairs when it comes to allegations of corruption in government. And of course, it's worth mentioning as well that corruption, tackling corruption, does also require an all-of-society approach. Everyone plays a part here. But right now, we are heading into the 7:30 news bulletin, and then after that, we're breaking down the Epic Games versus Apple court battle with David Olson, Associate Professor at the Boston College Law School. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.